you have a Bible, I want you to open it up to Genesis 12, all right? We are starting a new series we're going to teach through the summer and learn about one of the most famous people in the Bible, okay? And I'm not talking about Jesus this time, okay? We are going to learn about Jesus because ultimately the whole Bible is pointing to him. But in particular, we are going to talk about Father... There you go, Father Abraham, all right? Somebody knows. You guys know that song, right? Yeah. Many sons have Father Abraham. Okay, so here's what's crazy, okay? Abraham, his very name means father of multitudes. Pretty interesting, all right? But did you know Abraham was not his original name? All right, some of you are like, yeah, I knew that. And others of you are like, what? No way. All right. So Abraham was actually a second name that God gave to him that spoke to a promise we are going to look at tonight. So in Genesis 12 is where you should have your Bible opened up to. Okay, that's where we're going to be reading. We're going to look at this story, but I want to share a little bit because I know some of you don't know who I am, you don't really understand who I am or anything like that. Mr. Rob,
yes, sir.
Would you hit my button over there for me, the little right arrow? Thanks. All right, so put that first little map up there for me. The next one. Yeah, not that one, keep going. That's where we're going to be tonight. There we go. Okay, so here is a little bit of my life map, okay, because I told you we're going to do a little bit of geography tonight, so I want to start out with showing you where I live. So the bottom where it says Hayhira, Georgia, okay, that's where I was born. Very small town. There was a baseball player from there and me, and that's about it, okay? Not a whole lot. It's got, like, some swampy areas. There's a really cool place called Ray's Mill Pond that's a restaurant, and you can, like, it's one of those southern restaurants where you can go and get catfish and sweet potato fries, and then you can get some hush puppies, and I don't like hush puppies, so I take them out back, and they have this boardwalk that goes out into the swamp. And so you can walk out on this boardwalk with your extra hush puppies that you're not going to eat, throw them out into the water and watch gators come up and just like and eat the thing, okay? So it is cool, like, for that and that alone as a small town. There's not even like a full stop traffic light. It's like a blinking light, okay? It's a really small, small town. So that's where I'm from. When I was about 4 years old, my family moved up to Phenix City, okay? Now, Phenix City is right on the border of Alabama and Georgia. So my grandparents live 20 minutes away from my parents. They live in Georgia. My parents live in Alabama. So it's really close. There's a river there that you probably heard from a country song called the Chattahoochee River. Anybody know that? Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee. Yeah. Okay, that's where it is, okay? I live there. I grew up there. We have really good Little League baseball there, okay? Went to the Little League World Series in 1999, kind of a big deal. So we like sports really close to Auburn University, and so close that on Iron Bowl weekend when they play Alabama, if they're playing in Auburn, you can hear the game a little bit from my parents' house. Like, if somebody scores and the crowd just goes crazy, you can hear it from their front yard, all right? So that's where I lived growing up, like, almost my entire life was in Phenix City. When I graduated high school, I knew I wanted to do this, youth ministry, all right? So there's very few places that had two things I wanted in it. One was that they taught you how to do youth ministry. The second thing was Air Force ROTC. I was interested in doing Air Force after college and having them pay for everything for me. So I was like, all right, sweet. Liberty University, which you see up in the top right in Virginia, That is one of the few schools in the country that has both of those things. And when I went, I was like, this is amazing. They have a ski and snowboard slope that's open year-round. It's like artificial snow kind of thing that doesn't melt or anything. So learned how to snowboard at school, got to do all kinds of stuff. I ended up not doing Air Force, only did one semester, really enjoyed it, but they were like, look, you can't be a youth pastor in the Air Force, all right? That's not how that works. So instead, I did a bunch of things like working at youth camps in the summer and stuff like that. And then after I graduated from college, I moved to El Dorado. Not El Dorado, El Dorado, okay? The lost city of gold is a very small town of maybe 4,000 people in southern Illinois, all right? Very small. The next town over, though, had the largest KFC in the world. So kind of a big deal. They had like three different dining rooms in this one KFC. It was enormous. I don't even understand why they need such a big KFC in such a small area. I don't get it. But that's what's there, okay? Lived there for about 3 years. During those 3 years, they had two of the worst winters they had had in like 100 years. And I was like, this is not my style. I mean, look where I lived. I lived in southern Georgia, almost Florida, right in the middle of the South in Phoenix City. And then, I mean, Virginia, but it wasn't that bad kind of thing. Illinois was cold, all right, y'all? It was cold. So thankfully, the Lord was like, hey, I want you to go to this church called Cornerstone Baptist Church in Darlington, South Carolina. So we moved here, me and my wife. We got married in 2016, and then a couple months later, we moved here. I live just down the road from Miss Jane up in Darlington. Woo-woo. So been here about 3 years. Really enjoy it. And that's kind of where my life has taken me, okay? You can see if I were to walk that, it would take a very long time. I'm not sure exactly how long 656 hours is in, like, days and weeks, but a while, right? Like 2,000 miles of walking to get to all those places that God's taken me. Why do I tell you all this, okay? Well, partially because when we look at the story of Abraham, the very first thing that we read about him is what God had called his family to do, and that was to leave the place that they were from and move to a new place, right? He didn't tell them exactly where this was going to be, but he told them, I want you to get all your stuff, get everything together, don't leave anything behind, and I want you to take it all with you to the place that I will show you. Now, if I told you, I want you to go home, get boxes, load everything into it, pile it all up outside, I'm going to come with a moving truck, and then I want you to move to where I'm going to show you. A lot of y'all would be like, Pastor Scott, I know who you are a little bit, but I don't know you like that, all right? And that's kind of how I imagine almost Abraham's family was. I'm going to call him Abraham throughout this whole series, even though at this time, remember, his name is still Abram or Abram, if you want to pronounce it that way. And so we're going to see that God calls him to move somewhere, and Abraham actually does something crazy. He obeys and shows through that obedience that he trusts God with his life, that he truly trusts him. So we're going to take a look at why that is and who is Abraham. That, I mean, what was so special about him? Why would God pick him to do this? Because there's something amazing that we find out about Abraham as we read through this entire story. So let's pray, and then we're going to take a look at God's word. Lord, help us this evening as we study your word, that we would have better insight, that we would learn something very cool about this guy in the Bible that you've used in mighty ways. Lord, help us to follow his example of obedience and trusting you in our own lives. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay, so if you would, Mr. Rob, put up that next slide for us. So here is our principle for today. God's people follow his call in faith, okay? His whole or by faith. That's what this whole series is going to be about, is by faith. And if you read in the book of Hebrews, which are now eighth graders, y'all studied with me through the book of Hebrews last year, there was a whole chapter about all these guys who did amazing things by faith and people who suffered amazing things by faith, that they trusted God through it. That people like David trusted God and he was able to deliver Israel from the Philistines like Goliath. That people like Abraham, though, he's listed there, also trusted God, and God used him mightily. So we want to see, what was so special about Abraham? Well, here's the thing. Not a whole lot, really, which is kind of amazing when we think about it, because sometimes, I mean, what if there was, like, special requirements that in order for God to want to use you and work in your life, you had to be born to a certain family or from a certain place or something like that. That'd be really discouraging for all of us who weren't from that place, right? Or who couldn't meet those expectations that God had. So it's pretty great to know that Abraham was kind of just a regular old guy, right? He was 10 generations removed from Noah. So you think of Noah's flood and 10 sons down the line is when you get to Abraham. So a few hundred years later, after the flood, we're getting to Abraham. He lived in a place called Ur. What an amazing name, right? I mean, it's more like a sound effect, right? One of those onomatopoeias. You guys know that cool word? It's like a sound effect. Boom, okay, is an onomatopoeia. Ur was the name of the place. Ur is in modern-day Iraq. Okay, so if you think of the Iraqi war, it's like desert a lot. But the place where he was in Iraq is actually near some major rivers that are talked about in the book of Genesis. So his area was actually pretty wealthy and prosperous, very sophisticated for the time. I mean, we're talking like 2,000 years before Christ. That's really early, all right? That's 4,000 years ago is when Abraham lived. But they had some cool things. Mr. Rob, show us some of those pictures that we got. All right, so here's his life. He's starting out in Ur. He's going to go to a place called Haran, and then he's going to go to Canaan. And what this shows is his journey of faith, that over time, he has ups and downs, times when his faith and trust in God is really strong, and then times where he's weak and he doesn't trust God and he struggles. But over the course of his life, he comes to trust the Lord more and more. And I think this is a good example of how a lot of times we act, that we can have times in our life where, yes, I trust God. I'm going to give him my life. I'm going to follow in obedience through baptism. And then we struggle with disobeying our parents, or we struggle with being hurtful towards someone else. And so we have these ups and downs, but the course of our life is set toward trusting God more and more. Now, look at the bottom. When he's called from Ur and he goes to Haran, he's 75 years old. Some of y'all, your grandparents aren't 75 years old yet, right? 75 years old. Now, here's the thing. He's going to live to be 175 years old. That's a long time. So he's not exactly like a teenager. He's not really a young adult, but he's not like super old either yet, okay? People lived a lot longer back then than they do today. So over the course of the next 40 or so years, we're going to see this in his life. Now, let's see if we can get one of those pictures of his journey. So in the right, he's starting out at Ur. You see that? Okay. Then he's going to go all the way up near where Nineveh was. So anybody remember what the city of Nineveh was famous for? Not Noah. There you go, Jonah. Okay, Jonah went to Nineveh. So up in that area. Then he goes around to Haran, and then he's going to go south into the area that we know as Israel, or Canaan, as it was known back in those days. So when you hear about these things tonight, I understand you're not into geography. But it's important to think about, man, he made a big, big journey. Something like what it would be to go to all the places that I've lived in my life. That's a big journey. And to do that with all your stuff, you don't get to have a moving truck. You get camels and horses and oxen and things like that, right? So he's making that journey the whole time trusting God, all right? Now, let's go to the next slide. Okay, so this, anybody know what this thing is called? Okay, close, yes, a ziggurat. That's a fun word, right? Okay, a ziggurat. A ziggurat is like a pyramid, okay, but it was kind of built more blocky. It's like pyramid 1.0, okay, and then the pyramids are 2.0, all right? They are really cool. Was the area where the Tower of Babel was at. Okay, so if you've heard of that in the Bible, which is the chapter before this, I believe, the Tower of Babel is where all the people on earth had gathered. They were trying to build a giant tower up into the sky so that they could be famous in all the world. They were like, we're going to do something so amazing that we're going to get all the glory from it. And God was like, no. You see, God is the greatest being there is. He's really jealous for the glory that he deserves. And so when they're trying to do this, he says, I'll throw a wrench into this. And he changes all their languages. So instead of me talking to you like this, it'd be suddenly, como esta? And you're like, what? I don't understand that. And then you're, okay, but then if I said chefach, you'd be like, I have no idea what that is. And that would be Romanian. Okay, but then you've also got somebody else that's speaking something totally different. And all these people start to cluster together and then they move out away from the Tower of Babel. We use the word Babel talking about like a baby, right? The baby babbles. They make these random little sounds that we don't understand. It's just like, what? Huh? What? It's confusion. And that's what God causes. But this is the area where he was. He had stayed behind in that same region. So God's calling him, Abraham, to leave this area and to go and do what he had originally told Adam and Eve. You guys remember? I'm not saying about the tree and the fruit. But God told Adam and Eve, multiply, be fruitful, and fill the earth. Because God desired for his people to fill the earth and to point the glory back to him rather than themselves. So God's calling Abraham to pick up that original call to go and be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth with people who would bear his image and that he would get the glory from that. So he's leaving a place that has greatness. I mean, this has stood for thousands of years. My house is not going to last that long, okay? It's nice, but it's not going to last that long, right? I mean, just imagine the civilization, and he's leaving all of that behind, and he's taking everything to a place he doesn't know. But he's trusting God in that. It's amazing. So then, we get into this right here. This is the passage. So Genesis 12, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham. Can you imagine just like God suddenly saying something to you audibly? Like you don't know God or anything and he just like calls you by name. That could be crazy, all right? He said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred, okay, your family, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you, okay, listen. So he gives him a command, and then he gives him some promises, all right? He says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Okay, so he gives him promises, but he says, the reason that I'm going to bless you, the reason you're going to be a great nation because of all your descendants is not just so you can enjoy it. The reason, though, is so that you can be a blessing to those nations. So as you go out and as you fill the earth, you can bless those people, not just receive all this stuff for yourself. And then he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, what we know from later on in Scripture is that this blessing is not something material. It's not stuff, okay? Abraham would have a lot of stuff. His descendants would have a lot of material blessings. But the main blessing that all the earth has through Abraham is that eventually, generations after Abraham, comes a girl named Mary. And that God would use Mary to bring Jesus Christ into the world. And that through Jesus Christ, we can have salvation. We can be forgiven of sins. That the gospel applies to us. Without Abraham being chosen and obeying and God using him, all the earth would just be full of sinful people with no hope. And so we have amazing hope because God used this man right here. So God's people are called to follow his call by faith. We trust him. And then it says, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Anybody know who Lot was? This is like super Bible trivia right here. He came from a city. True. Okay. His brother's son, okay? Now, what does that make him? His nephew, right? Okay, so sometimes the Bible uses specific terminology, like his brother's son, to help you understand it wasn't like his sister's son or something like that. So it helps. So Lot, his nephew, okay, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, okay? So that was the country in the northern part when he leaves there. That's where, if you go back into the last chapter, there was a guy named Terah. And Terah was one of Abraham's ancestors, and he was told to go to the place God would call him, and he chose to stop at Haran. He didn't follow God all the way. He went there and no further. So Abraham's being called to go beyond where his own family would even go. So there's a few things that we need to see about this. Okay, if you would, Mr. Rob, hit that next one. Okay, here's the first thing. In order for us to follow God's call on our life, we have to recognize that where we are is not home, okay? So here is not home. In other words, when we're born, okay, we get a civilization, okay, like a nationality. We're born into a family. We have some kind of a name, right? So even an orphan is given some kind of a family name that they carry with them through their lives. We have this identity that we just automatically get. And the problem is that we can fall into a disguise of sorts. That there is an identity that we automatically get and that we can embrace as if it's our true identity. And see, the thing is, if we are following Christ, we've placed our faith in Jesus, we're trusting God with our lives, our identity is no longer primarily an American, or for me, a shepherd, right? Because that's my last name. or it's not in our job as a youth pastor, as a school faculty member, or as anything that we could be one day. That's not what our true identity is. Our true identity is as kingdom residents, God's kingdom residents. And so when there was a song that came out a while back, and it was like, all I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. And what the guys were talking about was like, here on earth, I'm only here for, let's say, 80 years, 90 years, whatever. But I'm going to spend forever with God because I know him. See, Abraham had to realize that Ur was not his final place, and God was calling him out to make him physically do something that would demonstrate his obedient and following heart, that he would follow God wherever God called him to. So, there's a great passage in Hebrews, if we can look at that, Mr. Rob. It says this, in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Those were his son and grandson. Okay, heirs with him of the same promise. For, look at this, he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. What he's saying there is that Abraham was not looking forward to just something here on earth, physical. He was looking to follow God to a place that God had prepared specifically for him. And so here on earth, we see him moving with all his stuff, but he's like, look, I'm going to follow God wherever he calls me, because ultimately I'm not following him to Haran. I'm not following him even to Canaan. I'm following God wherever he leads me to. And ultimately, I know that God has prepared a place for me. And Jesus makes this same statement when he says, I go and prepare a place for you. You, that God would prepare a place for Grant, for Scott, for Cassidy, for Miss Jane. I mean, that each of us, God would go and he would prepare a place for us to spend forever with him. That's amazing. That's really cool. All right. So Abraham was going to follow him no matter where God led. The second thing I want us to look at, okay, is to trust God's promises over your present circumstances. All right. Trust God's promises over your present circumstances. Now, here's what I mean by that. If we are to trust God's promises, okay, one, we have to know what his promises are. Abraham had it really conveniently. Mr. Rob, can you hit that next slide for me? Okay, Abraham had it very conveniently because God spoke to him, right? The cool thing is, though, what if Abraham was like, what did God say again? See, we have God's promises here written down where we can go and look at them whenever we need to, when we need clarification, when we need to be reassured. Did he really say that he would save me from my sins, that he would forgive me? We can go and look and see, yes, he did tell us that he loves us. That's amazing. God's word is given to us, so we trust God's promises over our present circumstances. Because here's the deal. Sometimes things are really tough. Now, in a very small way, I really did not like those winters in Illinois. Y'all, at one point, I lived in a house that was next to a highway. Okay? And in the winter, you get ice on the roads and stuff. And so they would have these huge dump trucks full of salt. And they would drive down the road salting all of these roads. The problem is they do it at like midnight. So you're trying to fall asleep and it's a cornfield out there. So it's all flat because everything's dead in the winter. You can hear this thing from miles away coming. And just like hear it go right past you. But it's 30 feet away from my house going 50-something miles an hour on ice. And there is a tiny fence in between me and it, all right? It's scary, okay? I did not get a lot of sleep at times in the winter because I listened to these dump trucks. And then when they weren't salting it, it would be some guy that thought he was real cool because he had a big truck with big wheels on it, and I could hear him coming the whole time too, right? Like the whole way through. I'm like, golly, guys, I'm trying to sleep. Let me sleep. This is ridiculous. And then I have a little four-door car. Now I'm out there trying to drive on the ice. And I'm sliding all over the place. Like, I'm a southern guy. I don't know how I do this. Like, what's going on? I mean, one time I'm driving on the highway. I'm driving. Everybody else is driving. I'm getting past. People are going. I mean, I'm still going like 50, but other people are going like 65, passing me by. Roads are pretty fine. And then I don't know if I crossed a county line or what, but the road's just like worse, like real bad. All of a sudden, it was ice everywhere. And I see like a quarter mile ahead of me, all these brake lights popping on. And I'm like, oh, there's a problem. There's like an accident or something. I mean, real bad. I'm like 2 hours away from my house. I was going to visit somebody. So I started to brake. The problem is my brakes weren't working. I was just sliding. And my car is going like this, and then is going like this. And I just plow off the side of the road down into this ditch, just like, boom! And there is no getting out of this thing at all. There's semi-trucks running off the side of the road. There is, I mean, it is rough. Like those videos you may see on YouTube of like bad accidents where people are just running into each other. That's why I didn't have happen, because I was in the ditch and I was watching it happen down the road, like trying to wave, stop, you know, like people are going to get crashed. And it was bad. I was afeared. I was cold. I was sleepy. Like, it was rough, all right? Not the worst things in the world, but not pleasant either, all right? In that time, if my life is around having it my way, doing things that I want, I'm going to be really discouraged. I'm going to be like, man, forget this whole living here thing. I'm going to go do what I want to do. I'm going to move to South Florida and get some really nice sun rays in the Sunshine State, right? Yeah, that sounds great until September when it's hurricane season, all right, and you're getting hit with Category 4 hurricanes over and over again, right? So here's the thing. If we base our life on doing things that we want, and when rough circumstances come, we stop following God and we're like panicking, running around, trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Okay, then we're going to have all kinds of anxiety build up in us. But if we can learn to trust God through those circumstances, remember, Abraham was having all this kind of stuff going on. I mean, just imagine you're moving your entire family and stuff and everything, and you're doing it only with animals and stuff. You're living in tents in the desert. There's no air conditioning. I mean, there's no, like, we'll just ride in a dune buggy and it'll be fine out here in the sandy desert. No. Like, our U.S. Army has a hard time having people in Iraq nowadays. This was 4,000 years ago. It was not easy for him to trust God. It was not easy for him to go through this whole process. But the biggest thing is that he continued to trust God. He obeyed him even though it wasn't easy, even though his current circumstances were difficult. And one of the things that I believe helped him do that was remembering these promises of God. So here's the thing. For instance, a lot of y'all have just been getting through exams, right? Now, when I was your age, we didn't have exams the same way you do. But from what I hear, they are not fun. They're not the thing that you wake up that week and go, yes, exams, cannot wait. This is the best day of my life. It might as well be my birthday and Christmas on the same day, all right? Like, that is not how we approach that, okay? Some of y'all, every single day of the 180 school days you go to a year, you approach with that same... Yes, you go to 180 school days a year. Amazing, right? So here's the thing. When you are going through school, okay, the expectation and the hope is that one day, for most of you, like 5 or 6 years from now, for a few of you, like 8 or 9 years from now, you're going to graduate from high school, all right? Some of you are going to figure out 8 or 9 years from now. Wait, what? That's like 14th grade, okay? You'll figure it out. So, okay, in several years, you're supposed to get to the point where you understand things, you've learned, and you are now better equipped to go out into the world as an able-bodied adult, okay? The point of you going through the schooling and having to do homework and projects and dealing with people and all of that stuff, waking up, is that when you are an adult, you're going to know how to read. You're going to know how to add and multiply. You're going to understand all kinds of things like, I mean, I'm a youth pastor, guys. You wouldn't think that I need to know a whole lot of math. But you know what? It's amazing how much math comes up in my life. When I'm figuring out how big the stage is in the office without having to come all the way over here, I can go, well, this is 4 sheets by 8 feet. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. 7 times 4 is? Yeah, so this is 20 feet, 28 feet wide. Amazing. I didn't have to walk all the way back over here, okay? Simple things that make your life a whole lot easier and better later on. But here's the thing. If you just get bogged down in how bad the school day was and you're not focused on the promise that one day I'm going to be an adult, I'm going to be educated, I'm going to know how to go out into the world and be the person God's called me to be, and part of the reason I'm going to be able to do that is because of the education that I have now, then you're going to be really discouraged when somebody's picking on you, or when you get a bad grade, or when you don't understand how to do something or can't remember those dates from history. When all of those things come up, you're just going to get, man, you're going to beat yourself up because you feel really bad about it. Nobody cares about me. That people pick on me. I can't remember the formula for Pythagorean theorem something. I mean, like, A squared plus B squared equals C squared, which means that I can tell you how far it is from that corner to that corner, which is amazing, all right? Right? Some of y'all are like, what? Magic. Okay. Do what? I've used it many times, actually. So here's the point, though. Listen, if we can remember the promises of God, we can endure the current circumstances and the issues that we have to go through. For instance, there are many, 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 how long do y'all want me to do this? Many, many Christians who have been tortured and killed because of their faith. Nobody wants to have to face starving animals who want to kill you. And the only reason you're in there is because you're a Christian. Nobody wants to become a human torch without having it as a superpower. Nobody wants to go through these things that people have done throughout history. But here's the thing. When Paul, for instance, is being stoned and killed with people throwing rocks at him, his focus is not on how bad that hurts. His focus is on God's promised me a place that he's prepared for me one day. So I can go through this right now because I'm going to spend forever with God. And going through this right here, Jesus has promised, is going to give me treasures in heaven. Yeah, I can endure this. Every stone means I'm getting a greater reward in heaven, that God is glorified by me not turning my back on him and saying he's worth it. And so if we will take our focus off of our current circumstances, things that we think are hard, and we will focus instead on God's promises for us, like Abraham did, we'll be able to persevere through some really difficult things. Now, what does this mean for us? All right, got a couple things. So for some of you, you're going to be leaving what is familiar to you, like Abraham did. Some of you just being here tonight is doing something unfamiliar to you, going into an environment that maybe is uncomfortable. You're not used to being around a bunch of people like this. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is kind of an uncomfortable, weird thing, and you're giving up your time to play video games and text everybody and stuff like that or whatever, all right? That may not be the easiest thing for you to do. It may be unfamiliar. Some of you, Grant, some of you, it's going to be going to Creed Camp or going to serve on a mission trip or something like that. That's uncomfortable, unfamiliar to you, new territory. The great thing is that God has promised us that he's going to work through the things in our life to build us up and to be mature in him so we can do those things trusting in him. Now, one of the things that's really cool, once you're in middle school ministry, and some of you don't know this yet, is once you're in middle school ministry, you can become a member of the church, okay? You can go to Discover Cornerstone, which is our membership gateway, we call it. You go there, you hear from Pastor Bill all about the church. You agree to things about what you'll do as a member of the church and understanding what the church does as we're a part of it. But then that doesn't sound fun to a lot of you. Like, oh, I have to go and sit in an extra class on Sunday? What? Give up my afternoon? That's why I nap. Like, or that's why I hang out and swim or whatever, right? I don't want to do that. But following God's commands and understanding his promises, that when he promises that being a member of a church is actually in your best interest, it's for your betterment. Oh, well, I can go through a 2-hour class. That's okay. I can do that. Hey, there's actually food involved. That's pretty cool. All right. Yeah, all the boys are like, yeah, I'm in. Food? What? So for some of you, that's the next step you need to do. You need to either trust in God, give your life to him. You need to follow in baptism. Ooh. This is something that a lot of people are not comfortable with. Being in front of people, having someone else dunk you underwater, okay, that is, I'm serious. For a lot of people, that's a high anxiety thing. It's something that they're not comfortable with. And so doing that is very hard for some people. And you know what? The thing is, I've seen over and over again how when someone will get their focus off of what's going on right there, that circumstance, they trust in the promises of God that he says, look, do this, follow after me, and look at what's in store for you. They get through that, and they're able to conquer all kinds of different things in their life because they're trusting in God rather than in what they can see in their circumstance. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to follow in that way and be baptized the next time that we have a baptism service, okay? I'd love to get to talk with you about that and explain why we go through that, okay? But here's the thing. I want you to do this as we wrap up tonight. Listen, I want you this summer to learn how to follow God, learn his promises, what he's done for us, okay? And for you to actually trust in him with your life, all right? You okay, TJ? No? Okay. Actually trust God with your life, all right? Learn his promises. That means study your Bible, actually, all right? Learn what it says. We're getting you Bibles for you to actually read them, not just to have a cool-looking book or something on your shelf, all right? Use them, okay? Take them to camp. Take them with you on Sunday morning, to Journey Group on Sunday night, to Wednesday night Lift, all right? Use that because you're going to learn God's promises. That's going to help you to be able to get through those things that are really tough in your life, to give you hope when you're dealing with things that are hard. And the cool thing is, just like Abraham, just like me, as we saw, God calls us to be able to go places that we never imagined. I had never heard of El Dorado. I had heard of El Dorado, right? Like, okay, I didn't know that place even existed. There was some really cool stuff that I got to do there, like go to the world's largest KFC, all right? There's way cooler things than that, and I'll share some of them with you this summer as we get to know each other a little bit more. But here's the thing. Following God is an adventure. Following God's an adventure. It's not boring. It's not just book work, okay? If you're actually following God, he's going to call you to do some amazing, crazy things. So trust him, all right? Trust him. Learn his promises and trust in them. All right, let me pray for you guys. Lord, as we look at Abraham's life, help us to see what a great example he was of looking at the promises that you had given to him and then trusting in them. That he went to all these different places. He did so, though, out of faith, trusting you, obeying as an outward expression of that faith. Lord, help us to obey as an outward expression of our faith in you, that we would do it in a way as to honor you, God. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.